Hello and welcome to Up to Date from WVIA. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you up to date at your own pace with what we're doing at WVIA News. Wherever or whenever you're listening, you'll find the most interesting and important stories from around the region and beyond, right here on Up to Date. Today, we'll try to clear the air around recreational cannabis and meet the country's new Secretary of Labor in Luzerne County. It's Monday, April 7th. Hope you're ready for the week. Let's get into it. First, we have an update from the weekend. President Donald Trump's Labor Secretary visited Nanticoke on Saturday. As WVIA's Boris Krauchnik reports, the secretary got a look at a union electrician training center and denied that Trump wants to break up unions for federal employees.
U.S. Labor Secretary Lori Chavez de Remer denied President Donald Trump engaged in union busting in a recent executive order.
Oh, absolutely not. The president cares about the American workforce. I believe in the American workforce. We're in line with that, and we're going to create more jobs than we've ever seen before in this country. We're excited about it.
De Remer attended a roundtable with Congressman Rob Bresnahan in a Nanticoke center that trains union electricians. Bresnahan has close ties to the union. In an executive order late last month, Trump ordered numerous federal agencies to stop bargaining with employee unions whose missions center on national security. He says they get in the way of effective management. The union sued the administration to overturn the order. Bresnahan also denied Trump is a union buster.
Were you just in the roundtable? Everyone in there is part of the union.
Bresnahan later released a letter that he and other congressmen wrote asking the administration to reconsider ending bargaining rights. Reporting from Nanticoke, I'm Boris Krauchnik, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris, for that report. Next, it's time for News Voices. For this week's feature, WVIA's Roger Dupuy and Sarah Hofius Hall had a chat about cursive writing and students who still learn how to write in script.
I'm Roger Dupuy, and this is News Voices. During this weekly feature, members of the WVIA News team talk with each other, and sometimes sources, about key things we've learned from the stories we have been working on. I'm here with WVIA reporter Sarah Hofius Hall, who is going to talk to us about cursive writing.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, Sarah. And so a quick anecdote, I will tell you that when I was in sixth grade, my teacher told my mother I had some promise as a writer, but my handwriting was never, ever going to improve, and she should buy me a typewriter. That is not the case with a young woman from the Lake Lehman School District in Luzerne County who you interviewed recently.
Yes, so I met with Kendall Grabinski. She's a fifth grade student at Lehman Jackson Elementary School, and she is the fifth grade grand national champion for cursive writing in the Zahner Bloser National Handwriting Contest.
That's just so impressive to have somebody from our area who is a national champion, but also in something that a lot of folks don't know how to do anymore. So apparently it's not required to teach cursive in Pennsylvania, correct?
Yes, I think it's important to point out, too, that she's actually the third national champion from this school since 2020. One was for print handwriting, the other two were for cursive handwriting. But so that really says something about the curriculum in that school district. So they start teaching cursive writing in the spring of second grade, and then throughout third grade, the students continue to work on it.
Right. And you talked with Kendall's teacher, Jen Welby, it sounds like.
I did. She said it was kind of like a rite of passage, that when students can learn to write in cursive, when they write in script and can read in script, they kind of feel like a big kid.
Right. You know, what's interesting as we're talking about this, so I was looking at your story and some other reporting that's been done, and Representative Dane Watrow, who's a state lawmaker from our area, from Schuylkill County, would like to see the state require cursive to be taught, and there are 24 states that require it. Of course, as I say, Pennsylvania is not one of them. And one of the reasons folks say that this is important is not only for the students and the cognitive advantages that that they develop, but also the ability to read historic documents.
Yeah, that's often highlighted when lawmakers do propose to make it a requirement.
Right.
Yeah, I think schools have really kind of gotten away from cursive in the last decade. A lot of schools are starting to bring it back, though, in at least some way. It's not going to be the kind of lessons maybe we had when we were in school, but they are at least exposed to it in some way in a lot of school districts. The funny thing is that in the So Kendall's teacher told me that she actually didn't realize Kendall had such beautiful handwriting because she usually prints.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And we were talking before we went on the air, and you are very good at cursive, apparently, correct?
I am. I'd like to think so.
Okay. What does Kendall win as a result of this contest?
So she wins $500 and a trophy from the curriculum company, and then the school receives a $1,000 voucher for, you know, for different products from the company.
Interesting. All right. What was the famous sentence that you saw Kendall write?
And this sentence was actually one I was just kind of writing out in my notebook to see how I did. But the sentence is, "The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog." And the fun thing about that sentence is that it actually uses every letter of the alphabet. So you can really judge, you know, letter formation, shape, you know, the slant of the writing by, you know, reviewing that sentence.
Right. And before we close, there was another student in our area who won an award from Zahner Bloser, correct?
Yes. So the way the contest is, they have school winners, and then those school winners go on to be, have a chance to be a regional winner, and then regional winners advance to the national competition. But for the regional winners, Carson Shea, a first grade student at Notre Dame Elementary in East Stroudsburg, was recognized for his printing skills.
Nice. To all our audience out there, if you look at our website, wvia.org, you'll see a digital version of the story, and you can get an idea of just how wonderful Kendall's handwriting can be.
More up to date after this break.
We report to you. Subscribe to the WVIA News Notes e-newsletter for the latest from the news team. Visit wvia.org/news and click on the subscribe button to receive the newsletter every Tuesday and Friday morning.
Welcome back. All right, so if you're a WVIA TV viewer, which we hope you are, you already know Keystone Edition Reports is one of our monthly public affairs programs. For this month's episode of Keystone Edition Reports, we're getting at the root of a controversial question. Should cannabis be legalized for recreational use here in Pennsylvania? WVIA's Isabella Weiss spoke to two cannabis scientists at Wilkes University to get their take.
After lawmakers passed the 2018 Farm Bill, CBD popped up everywhere, in creams, gummies, and vapes. That's because what you're buying isn't marijuana, it's hemp. Marijuana and hemp come from the same plant, cannabis, but the plant's been genetically modified to not get you high. As Governor Josh Shapiro pushes to legalize adult cannabis use by July, scientists and lawmakers scramble to figure out how widespread recreational use will affect people's health.
Five of our neighboring states have legalized adult use cannabis. I've talked to the CEOs of the companies right across the border in Jersey and Maryland and New York who tell me that 60% of their customers in those shops are Pennsylvanians. We're losing out on revenue.
And at Wilkes University, scientists started a cannabis program 5 years ago. Dr. Donald Menser teaches cannabis chemistry at Wilkes, and he's ambivalent about potential legalization, but hopes it would increase research access.
Politicians are going to do what they're going to do. People are going to do what they're going to do, whether they're buying a legal product or whether they're buying an illicit product from somebody in an alley. The alcohol industry is regulated. When you buy a bottle of vodka from the state store, you can be assured that it has the amount of alcohol in it that it says on the label.
But Menser worries about the safety of cannabis products bought at non-state regulated smoke shops.
Nobody does testing of these products, right? They're sold, and there's really no regulatory body that is in charge of making sure that there's monitoring for the quantity of the molecules, whether it's CBD or THC, or contaminants that might be present in the products, like heavy metals or other things that would be detrimental to people's health.
We don't really know what's in it, and especially the illegally purchased stuff. Marijuana, that's the Wild West.
And like alcohol, legal cannabis isn't completely safe. Scientists worry long-term use can be dangerous to a person's health.
I think if you were to look up cannabis dependency syndrome, you would find that people are beginning to talk about that a little bit more. So we want to have scientists to help understand what's going on. And people are using the product. They've used it for thousands of years. It's grown on every continent in the world. So it's not going to go away, legalized or not legalized.
Governor Shapiro's 2025 budget aims to legalize adult recreational use by July 2025 and start sales this January.
We're losing out on an industry that over the first 5 years will bring in $1.3 billion in revenue to our Commonwealth. So I ask you to come together and send to my desk a bill that legalizes adult use cannabis, expunges the records of people who have been convicted for non-violent possession of small amounts of marijuana.
His proposed bill would need to reach his desk by December, and no bill has been introduced on either side of the Pennsylvania legislature. The last bill, HB 2500, failed in December of 2024.
This full story is at WVIA.org. Then you can catch Keystone Edition reports clearing the air on legalizing marijuana on WVIA TV tonight at 7, or go ahead and stream it at WVIA.org. All right, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready for this new week. You can find all of today's stories at WVIA.org or on your WVIA mobile app. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me here on Up to Date. Remember, you can subscribe and listen every weekday at WVIA.org or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And while you're updating those subscriptions, go ahead and add the WVIA News Notes newsletter too. It's totally free and brings you all the local news you need to know every Tuesday and Friday morning. Have a happy Monday, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow here on Up to Date.